Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Beulah Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
My text this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you have your Bible and can follow along, I encourage you to do so. Beginning here in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have three verses before us that I want us to look at. Peter, speaking here of salvation, gives us two things that must be divinely revealed to us in order for us to be forever reconciled to God. And here they are. First thing, man, the sinner, cannot save himself. And secondly, salvation is of the Lord. It always comes back to those two things. That's the message of this book that we call the Bible. Verse 23, Peter writes, being born again. That's what being saved is. It's being born again. You see, for the child of God, there are two births. First, the believer is born physically. And secondly, the believer is born spiritually. We must be born again. That's what the Lord told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Every child has a parent. We're not self-created. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We have an earthly father, an earthly mother. And birth is the gateway by which we enter into this natural physical life. And it's the same spiritually. We're not self-created that way either. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be born again is to be born of God. Not everyone that is born physically is born again spiritually. Some are born once, but some are born twice. All of us are naturally and physically born, but only the elect chosen of God are born again, born twice. All of us are born dead in trespasses and sin, but only some are born again spiritually and eternally into newness of life. Now, I want to know how sinners can be born again. Don't you? Peter goes on to tell us how in verse 23. He writes, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see, because of the fall of our corrupted father Adam, our first birth is corruptible. Now, that word corruptible means dead, decaying, perishing. And in this physical birth, we're not living, but we're dying. God appoints how many breaths we'll take in our life. And with each breath that we take, we make the number of our total breaths less. Our pulse, our heartbeat, is a beating funeral march to the grave. Our lives are like the hourglass. The sand is emptying down very fast. We are born of decaying, corruptible seed. But the new birth, the second birth, is quite different. When we are born again, not of corruptible seed, we are born of incorruptible seed, and it's alive and immortal and imperishable. What makes the spiritual birth different? Peter tells us, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And the word of God is just that. It's the word of God. It's God's word to us. This is what God tells us about life. This is what God tells us about natural physical life. And this is what God tells us about eternal spiritual life. All of us who are born of a woman are born under the law. We've offended God's law. We have offended God's holy justice. And the wages of our offense against God's law and his justice is death. Every man and woman born of a man and a woman fulfill the desires of their flesh and their mind and are by nature, the children of wrath, even as others, Ephesians 2:3. By nature, by physical birth, born under the rudiments of sin, we are children of wrath, even as others. However, the second birth gave us a nature too. Now, will that nature also die? No, it's born of incorruptible seed. It's not like the first birth at all, born of corruptible seed. The new nature is born incorruptible. It's not born of the seed of man and woman. It's born of the seed of God, who is incorruptible. You see, God has infused his own life in us, and that's what quickens us, makes us alive. That incorruptible word of God produces an incorruptible life. And the child of God has a new nature that never dies. The child of God will never see death. Christ, who is in them, is the immortality in the life. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Christ shall never die. Believest thou this? That's what the Lord Jesus asked in John 11:26. Now remember what I said in the beginning. Man cannot save himself, and salvation is of the Lord. Now how do I know that to be true? Peter tells us right here in our text, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. Now, what does grass do? Well, it happens in my yard every year. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. Our flesh is as grass. It withers away. Our glory is like a flower. It falls away. So what hope, then, do any of us have of being saved? This is the only hope that any of us have. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, the only hope that we have of redemption is the preaching of the gospel of God's word. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:21 that in the wisdom of God, it pleased God by the what the world calls foolishness, that being preaching, God is pleased to save them that believe. It pleased God by the preaching of his word. It pleased the Lord by the preaching of the gospel to save them whose flesh withers like grass, to save them whose glory fails and falls by the preaching of God's word, which endures forever. What endures forever? The eternal God and his eternal word. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to them that are saved, it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 and verse 21. You see, the word of God is quick. That word means alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can penetrate into the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Now, what is a two-edged sword? Pretty simple. It's a sword that has two edges. It has two cutting sides, two cutting edges. And that's exactly what we see here in our text. We see that God's word is two-edged. First, it reveals the inability of man. No man can come to Christ that he might have life. Man doesn't have the ability to come. And secondly, it reveals God's sovereignty and salvation. All flesh is grass. Grass withers. Man's glory fades like a flower. Man cannot save himself. But God and his word abideth forever. God alone can save sinners. And that's the problem with preaching today. So-called preachers tell us what men should do for God instead of what God must do for them. One day the apostles asked our Lord, "Who then can be saved?" And our Lord said, "With men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Men and women go about to establish their own righteousness. Why do men and women do that? Because they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they will not submit unto the righteousness of God. And that's the problem. Men by nature will not submit. They will not bow to what God's word says. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Who is Christ the end of the law for? To everyone that believes. Believes what? That the word of God abides forever. Now, if you're going to do something for God, it must be perfect in order for him to accept it. And we cannot provide that which is perfect. Therefore, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. His blessing is upon his people, Psalm 3:8. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. How are they righteous? He, Christ, is their strength in the time of trouble, Psalm 37:39. You know, preachers today plead with men to do something for God, but the prophets of old pleaded with God to do something for them. They pleaded with God to show mercy. Do men think that they're doing something for God when they supposedly let God have his way and give Jesus their heart and make Jesus their Lord? How can you let God have his way when God can already do whatsoever he wills? How are you going to give to Christ something when everything already belongs to him? How are you going to make Jesus Lord when God made him Lord before the foundation of the world? How is one going to do any of these things when they are dead in trespasses and sin? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul wrote, "I obtained mercy." You see, the mercy of God is something that has become common today. Preachers have obligated God to be merciful. They claim that God is obligated to be merciful to sinners. Is that what the Word of God teaches? No. God shows mercy on whom he will. God has compassion on whom he will. God is obligated to nothing or no one because grace is unmerited. Mercy is undeserved compassion. God's not obligated to forgive sinners. It's at his discretion that he does so. In verse 13, Paul said, "I was a blasphemer, one who spoke irreverently about God." He called Christ an impostor and a deceiver. Paul said, "I was a persecutor, not just content to speak evil things of Christ, but he acted out his evil intent to those he persecuted. He threatened, he slaughtered, he destroyed those who called on the name of Christ." Paul said, "I was injurious, not just using words, but force and balance with the words that he used. He made havoc of the church. He pulled men and women out of their homes and threw them into prison. Why, he even held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. But," Paul continued, "I obtained mercy. In spite of being a blasphemer, a persecutor, in spite of doing injury to others, he obtained mercy." He didn't say, "I earned mercy," because mercy cannot be earned. He didn't say, "I deserve mercy." Mercy and grace are undeserved. He didn't say, "I merited mercy." Mercy is unmerited. He said, "I obtained mercy. I received mercy. I acquired mercy. Mercy was given to me. Mercy was a gift to me. Mercy was purchased for me by another. I obtained mercy." And the sinner obtains mercy for one reason only: by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only abundant, it exceeds abundance. "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could think or ask. But that's not all. This abundance of grace is accompanied with the faith and the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. It can be trusted. It can be believed. It's worthy of being accepted, worthy of all acceptation. What is it? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, "of whom I am chief." And that's how every believer sees themselves, as a sinner. And that is who Christ came to save.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky. And our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m. Worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m. Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.